Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
And welcome to the iOS show on the British Tech Network. I am here with my regular panel. First of all, to my left on my screen is Ian. How are you this evening, Ian?
Terrifyingly busy, Paul.
Wow. I was offered you a job today as well, and you shot me down. You shot me down cold.
I know. I'm really sorry about that. It sounded like quite a good gig, but got other stuff on. What can you do?
I know. It's good to be busy. Ruddy, a man, conversely going from the exact polar opposite of that. How are you today?
I'm terribly busy too, but not too busy, Paul, for the iOS show. Or for you, Paul. Always got time for you.
That's very kind of you. Do you have any confectionery tonight to munch your way through the show?
I do. I've got a toffee crisp.
Very good, very
quietest
good.
Quietest of all chocolate bars, so I could just...
I haven't even had my dinner yet, you... evil man.
Well, can you pass him some? Surely you're not that
far away.
You can
have a bit of my toffee crisp. You can have the wrapper.
You're too kind. No, wait. I take that back.
And finally, whose arms are not yet wrist deep in baby feces, Robert Streak Machine. How are you?
Oh, good evening, good evening. I am surprisingly alive still.
That's super.
Getting very caffeinated and... hopefully there won't be too many screaming thingies going on in the background this fine podcast.
Cool. And hopefully your child won't be upset as well.
Yeah, well, one can always hope. I know I do, often.
So, iOS news. We have some. Well, no, sorry, that's unfair. We don't really have iOS news. We have law, kind of legal stuff, and a bunch of rumours. So,
everyone loves legal stuff.
Yeah, it's why we're here. For that matter.
It's the reason I get out of bed, Paul.
Well, it's the reason you're forced out of bed, I believe.
That's very true.
So, first of all, Apple asks sellers of iOS betas to kindly bugger off and stop doing it. I'm fairly sure that's one of your words and not an exact headline, but I'll accept that. So, according to several unnamed website operators, speaking to Mac Stories, this article came from, a number of sites have purported, I'm sure that's reported, to sell early developer access to iOS 6 have been shut down after their site's ISPs reserved DMCA takedown notices from Apple. What's your thoughts on this?
Well, it's interesting because I've signed up for, I'm not a developer, but I've signed up for developer access before to get a sneak preview of the betas because I'm an enthusiast. And there's nothing actually to stop you doing that as long as you stay within the terms of the non-disclosure agreement and you're not posting screenshots ever. If you behave, you can have it early and it's it's going to be buggy, but you're allowed to do that. But what they're doing is that because you can add, a number of devices onto your account if you do that and you sign up to the developer network, then they are sort of reselling these extra slots. A bit like, if you remember when they used to get the kind of .Mac and Mobile Me family packs. Mm-hmm. And I was looking to renew mine one year, and I noticed that some unscrupulous people on that eBay site were selling the individual memberships, the four or five memberships you could have in that family pack, as a kind of individual thing, which is very naughty. Mm. And also means, I believe, that whoever controls the whole thing would sort of have an element of access to your stuff. So it's not a million miles away from what was happening there.
Yeah, I find this a little bit interesting in that how much can they possibly be selling it for to make it profitable? If you can already get a dev account for $99 and keep yourself completely legal, therefore you would assume that they would, to make it actually justifiable to make it illegal, you'd have to be talking 50 mm-hmm. quid, and then really, who's going to be bothered with that? I don't know if I would.
Well, yeah, it's 59 quid for a developer account over here. And I can't remember, I think there might be different levels. So the different levels may give you more devices that you can activate.
I think there's only two levels, though, is there not? It's you got the £59 or $99. And then I'm sure if you go up to... I should have this in front of me. I'm sure if you go up to the next level, you basically then can have multiple dev accounts under one account. So that's like if you were a company and you had like a team of 15 developers. But the $59 one
that's
is just
like if
you
were God or something and you had to have millions for all your followers, you devote devout followers.
And he does need that for, I believe he's developing iBible at the moment. So that makes sense.
That crazy guy.
So I just don't know. I mean, $59, I mean, I haven't seen any evidence, anything to say kind of how much they're selling this access for.
On the one hand, I think it's kind of a stupid tax. If you're going to pay somebody for access to an iOS beta rather than find out that you can actually buy it for yourself, fair enough. You know, if you want to spend that money, that's your choice. But equally, I can see why Apple would be kind of annoyed about it, because, you know, they want that money. They don't want it going to anybody else. And they want people to come to them for it rather than any other place. Yeah.
There's also the risk that, I don't know how this has been marketed, because the way that Mobile Me Family Pack was marketed, it made you think that you were getting a proper thing rather than just latching onto the tailcoats of someone else's account. We don't know how this is being marketed on eBay or whoever is selling it. It may be worded in an appealing way that people genuinely think they're getting access to the full version in some kind of legit way. And then it's going to present a rubbish customer experience for Apple, because they're going to be the people getting the Apple are going to be the people getting the backlash to the support lines. People going, why doesn't my iOS 6 that I paid for work properly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they don't know, because they're stupid, because they're normal people, and normal people are stupid.
But then the question can be asked, what on earth are normal people interested in buying a beta for? Or beta, depending on...
But does it say in the advert that it's a beta? That's the thing.
Yeah, I just
I guess
don't know.
A lot of it depends on how it's posited.
Yeah, I suppose it does entirely, but I just don't know. I can't get a scenario in my head whereby somebody who knew enough to want the latest version of iOS did not know that you could, either did not know that you could spend £59 or $99 and get access to it, or was not a developer wanting to test something. I just can't get through my head why on earth you would be wanting to take that risk. But it's obviously working, because one of the articles around the story, and it's a quote from one of the articles, the owner of one such site reported to be making $75,000 by selling access to the iOS 6 beta since June.
What?
Yeah.
$75,000 of money.
Of money, yes.
Actual money.
Oh, actual money. So, I mean, they've got to be selling it for a reasonable amount. He then went on, this is a quote from whoever it was that was running the website. We do not believe our service was infringing and our services did not violate the guidelines for iOS 6. Mm-hmm. The site owner told Mac Stories the owner plans to launch a new site, quote again, with better and more secure data lines to handle Apple.
I've got words for people like that, but I'm not going to say them on a podcast. Not again, not since you censored me last time.
I don't know. I just can't get how somebody can make that amount of money essentially out of people's stupidity. It's beyond me.
I'm going to deny that right now, while I went quiet for a second there, which doesn't happen often, that I was registering a few extra developer accounts. Just trying to remember my eBay password there.
Okay, the next story. First malware on the iOS App Store. So Find and Call app becomes the first Trojan to appear on the iOS App Store. So the idea behind this app was, when downloaded, Find and Call asks the user to sign in with an email address and a cell phone number. Kapersky points out, and this was Kapersky Labs that found this problem, that neither field is checked for validity before moving forward. The user is then asked if he or she wants to find friends on in their phone book. If the user agrees, the app uploads the device's address book data in the background without notifying the user or even indicating anything is happening at all. And then every single person on that contact list will then receive an SMS spam. But it will look like it's come from somebody that they know at the receiver's end. This, again, is interesting. It's another first for the App Store, but I don't know. Should we be worried about this?
Well, I mean, it's obviously at this point within Apple's policies. If I remember rightly, then iOS 6 is bringing in you must have permission to share the address book feature for apps. So you can't do that anymore in iOS 6. But it seems to me that this is something that's within, it wouldn't be caught by the App Store, because the bad stuff isn't happening within the app. Fair enough, it's uploading the address book without user permission, which is a bad thing and shouldn't really be happening. But then the SMS is not happening within the app, it's happening at the other end at the app developer server. So if they hadn't switched that part on, then it wouldn't have been caught through the App Store process.
This isn't really a Trojan either, is it? technically.
No, it's the functionality is not, well, it's malicious, but it's not malicious in the way that a Trojan is. It's not hidden in the same way.
It's not actually compromising your copy of iOS or anything. It's not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
See, and therein, what is this trying to achieve? I take it just sending out a spam message. It was, if you've been missold payment protection insurance in the past, please phone this number. I mean, is that all? I'm sure it's something a little bit more devious than that, but is that all this is looking for? Is that all this is trying to achieve?
I don't know.
Yeah, I know. It seems a really funny one. Or is it just SMS spam that tells you to go and look because Next have a sale next weekend or something like that? I mean,
Next sales.
or is it just using up people's text minutes? I mean, I don't know. It's a bad thing and it shouldn't happen. And I'm glad that somebody's found it. But it just seems like it's a bit of an SEO grab to suggest that there's a first Trojan to appear in the iOS App Store.
Yeah, I think you might have hit the nail on the head there. Mm. Also, it was only in the Russian App Store, wasn't it?
I knew it was a Russian developer that made it, because, frankly, all of these...
I think somebody said that it was on the Russian App Store, and so it would only come up in searches or in the rankings on the Russian App Store. But you could, I think if you had the link to it, you could download it anywhere.
All right. Okay.
So I think it was mostly in Russia, where nothing shady ever happens.
So sorry, if you had the link to it, so that's if you've got a jailbroken iPhone, then surely, because you can't download something off a link unless you have a jailbroken iPhone.
I mean, if you had the link to the App Store web link or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So I think it would be unlikely to come up in our UK App Store listings.
Oh, it would be there if you
search for it or hunted it down.
Right, okay, so it would be there, like, kind of hidden behind the fridge in the App Store somewhere.
Exactly.
By shuffling it out of the way. Yeah, I mean, again, how did this get through through Apple's net? I suppose the argument could be made that it looked completely innocent on the face of it, and realistically, all it really did was send SMSs. So, arguably, was there a problem?
And what harm could that do?
Well, indeed.
Is it not... a bit worrying, though, that my understanding was that when something gets screened to go on the App Store, that there was a certain amount of code checking in place. So,
but surely things are going to slip through the net.
Expect that to catch it.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about the amount of apps, and I can't remember the figures, but it's an astronomical amount of apps that get approved every hour.
Yeah.
I mean, something like this,
like
which
10.
It's more than that. Something like this that...
11.
seems to be completely innocent. All it's just kind of saying was... Actually, in fairness, what was this app supposed to do? Even before... We know that it was doing something malicious, but what was it actually trying to achieve if you legit... Like, what were you being bought into? What were you thinking
maybe it was just a proof of concept. You know, sometimes hackers and people like doing that just show they can...
I'm just reading the description here, Paul, and it turns out I can't read Russian.
Oh, heaven forfend any of us read the article first before talking about this stuff. Yeah. It'd be madness. This podcast would be like 1 minute long if we knew what we were talking about. Although it's kind of worrying that I thought, and maybe I imagined this, it was another one of my dreams about iOS, but I thought that... So the vector for this is that it's uploading your contact details, but I thought there were stricter controls on that now.
I don't think
there was a big
huge story
about.
Yeah,
no, that's coming in iOS 6.
Ah, right. Okay, yeah. This will become a non-thing soon enough.
Yeah, but the software itself doesn't do anything bad apart from sharing your address book without permission. All the bad stuff happens at the server end.
Yeah, oh,
and it makes it look like the SMS comes out from your number, so it steals your number, but. The fact that it doesn't come from your number, and you know, there should just be better controls around what SMS can look like. That's an authentication issue in the protocol. It's not a problem with the app.
Hmm. Yes.
So it's all sorted out now, and iOS 6 should fix it. So that's fine.
We can all get on with our lives.
Indeed. Moving on in the whole security thing, a hacker has exploited iOS. An iOS flaw for free in-app purchases. So you can get all the gold and wood and nails and things like that you need for your Farmville for free using this new hack. So the idea is that at the moment, if you perform an in-app purchase, essentially whatever you're purchasing doesn't need to get downloaded because it's already in the app. So all it's really doing is adding an extra 100 to the variable that's holding your coins figure or something like that. And all it does is it basically sends back a receipt from Apple's end to say, this person has paid 49 pence, please add another 100 to this particular variable, and then you have 100 extra coins. And it transpires that that is a completely generic message that just kind of says, yep, you're grand, and whatever happens, happens in the background. So this chap has managed to find a way around that by putting in place his own server, by the looks of things, that the request goes to, and then the server automatically sends back the, yep, you're grand, generic message, and all is good. It seems reasonably harmless to the owner of the iOS device, but it's potentially quite a big deal if you've got in-app purchases.
I think if you're playing those kind of games, then, it makes me so angry, Farmville.
Yeah.
It's farming, and farming makes me, agriculture makes me angry. Everything makes me angry.
I have, I actually have Farm Simulator 2011 to play this week as my crappy game challenge from the Gamer Show this week.
Good grief.
Yeah, you basically have to drive tractors and plough fields and stuff like that. I have not played it yet, actually, but I've got to play that before next Friday for a whole hour of that game.
It's an hour of your life you'll never get back, Paul.
I know, but...
Think of the crops, Roddy. Think of the crops.
the virtual crops.
So what are they going to be able to do? If this messaging system, you know, this receipt thing is sort of... That must be kind of hard-coded, this mechanism, so they're going to have to get a full update out, aren't they? I'm guessing it's not the kind of thing they could just sort on their end.
Well, it's basically a spoof. I can't tell just by reading it whether, but you know, you have to do quite a lot to your device to get it to work this way in the first place. You have to put bogus certificates on it, yeah. And then you have to have all the requests go via a fake DNS server so it thinks it's talking to the right server. And the problem is just that there isn't enough security in that connection to say yes, you're definitely the right server, and you're definitely speaking to the right people. It should be a pretty trivial thing for them to fix. So I imagine they'd just stick out a point release for it, but we'll see. I guess
it apparently only works for specific types of apps. So for example, I could see the biggest benefit to the user and the biggest downside to Apple and the retailers would be if this worked for newsstands. So you could get your your copy of Farmer Weekly for absolutely free in the newsstand. But apparently it doesn't work for recurring payments like that. It only really works for your in-app purchases.
Okay. But imagine the vast array of the color orange, every single hue of orange that you could get and draw something. You could have browns. Reds, you could have a russet, you'd go mad.
You're blowing my mind.
Just, there are other colours too, I could talk about them.
Just to finish off this story, the chap who wrote this, this was the best part about this whole story for me. The chap's name is Borodin, I think that's how you pronounce his last name. So it goes on to say, as for Borodin, he didn't seem particularly concerned about what Apple will do next. Asked if he was afraid about what Apple's response to him directly might be, quote, no, he replied, adding, quote, I'm a happy user of iPhone 4S. I think they will hire me.
Hire them to test out their new in-house prison, perhaps. Wasn't Borodin in the Lord of the Flipping Rings?
Boromir.
That's what I said.
It has the same beginning, but it changes the end.
I admire
it's kind of like
confidence.
A new Mass Effect game. Yeah, it's an interesting one, certainly. We'll give it that. Moving on swiftly, because I want to talk about the potential smaller iPad costing, I know we've covered this before, so I don't want to go this much detail, but costing significantly less than $499, which would be, is it
$498 or less?
Well, is it our, I can't remember what the starting price is for an iPad over here. Is it $399?
It's $329. $329.
That's a bargain. Is that for the old one?
Or
for
it's iPad 2, 8 gig Wi-Fi, I think.
Yeah, okay. $399 you get an iPad 3 starting price, isn't it?
Yeah, and you can buy refurbs still as well, and they're kind of 250 and up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So apparently this smaller iPad, this 7.85-inch iPad, is going to cost significantly less than that coming this fall.
I've heard it mentioned at $199, potentially.
That would be amazing.
It's only Wii.
Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, it's not as wee as... I know it's the same screen as a 7-inch iPad, but it's a slightly different form factor. So it's slightly squarer. So instead of being that kind of long, thin, like the Nexus 7 or the Fire, It appears to be fatter, which actually looks quite interesting. There's a couple of mock-ups, actually, on Mac Rumors. I put a link in the show notes. And I know they are just mock-ups for the iPad Mini, but the whole idea of it still being a square as opposed to that long kind of 16x9 form factor looks cool. And if it's going to come out, even at 249 or something like that, that's going to be a killer product, in my opinion.
But it will only be Wii. And if you've got like hands that are like a size, like a normal sized person's hands, it would be like you were using a Lilliputian iPad or something, or that your iPad was really far away and you couldn't understand why your hands. Oh, I'm really confused now.
I want to know what this means for the iPod Touch.
Ooh.
But is it not? I mean, it's going to be bigger than the iPod Touch. I mean, the iPod Touch is.
Yeah, but how much more expensive is it going to be? Because if the iPod Touch is, what, 200 quid in this country? Mm-hmm. You know, if this comes in at like 249, it's going to be a lot more for the money.
It's not often I like your thinking, Ian, but that's pretty good.
I never even considered that. That is a very good point. So it's either going to kill the iPod Touch or it's going to come in significantly more than £200.
Hmm.
That's a shame. That's kind of spoiled my evening. Thank you, Ian.
And what are they going to call it?
They might call it an iPod, even. It might be like a big iPod.
iPod Maxi.
Mm-hmm. Ew.
They could do an iPad shuffle that doesn't have a screen, and you can just clip on your clothes.
But you can still stroke it.
Yeah. You could just rub it all over yourself.
Ah, dearie me. Right, okay, finally, iPhone 5 official release date revealed as August the 7th, which is...
As we say in the pantomime business, oh no, it isn't.
Yeah.
You're not in the pantomime business.
I saw him last week. Yes.
He should be in the pantomime business. I can tell you which end of the horse he should be in. So you say August the 7th.
Well, this company called Know Your Mobile can exclusively reveal that the iPhone 5 will be released on August the 7th.
I can tell you for a fact that knowyourmobile.com, knownothing.com, and it will not be August the 7th. It will be September, October.
Yeah, like I agree completely. It needs to be later in October because there is absolutely zero chance of me being allowed to buy a new iPhone like weeks before the wedding, which is late September. So it has to be in October sometime.
What have they said before that has been right? Have they got any track records?
I don't know.
Mobile.com? I'm typing it in now. Know Your Mobile. I'm typing it in a computer here, which is quite clever, using the keyboard. And the internet's looking up. And then as soon as their site loads, which is not doing a very good job of it, I'm going to laugh at it. Look at them. Idiots.
But you would think if it was going to be August the 7th, we would have heard about somebody booking the Moscone Center before now.
You would think.
Considering that's like, what, two and a half weeks away? We would have heard something before now, definitely. No question. Anyway, moving on. So, that was the news section. And now, we're going on to the newly and officially titled, because we did a bit of a straw poll at the Bash last week.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yep. And it was a unanimous decision to rename this section the Trouble Gusset section.
I can't help feeling partly responsible for this.
So this is Trouble Gusset now. So this is the section of the show where we take questions in from the listener audience, you groovy little people out there, and we try and answer those questions.
Did you just call them groovy?
I called them groovy, yes.
Great way to lose our listeners there. Hey, groovy cats, come and listen to us.
So
Paul is always in touch with our listener base.
Yeah, I'm down with the kids. I'm down with them. First question from Ian Gordon. Thank you, Ian, for messaging us. How do I get the percentage notification beside the battery? Gentlemen, discuss.
You just write it on with a pen.
Do you not have to keep writing it on through the day as it changes?
Just rub it out, though.
It's a dry white marker. You're fine. As long as you don't lose a permanent marker, you're okay.
Exactly.
Mm. Do we know the official answer?
Yes,
I'm not convinced that. I'm not convinced that my marker has sufficient resolution to go onto the iPhone 4 screen.
You don't have a Retina Sharpie?
I do not, no.
You're a goose then, aren't you?
I am. Wait, maybe not.
Well, I see what
you mean there's another way?
Building the tension.
I think there might be.
Attention.
It's interesting that now I know we know there's an answer because we've written the answer down because we're professional, not that you think it. But this is a subject that's very close to my heart from recent experience when you guys were at the bash or contributing to the bash. Was it Friday before last?
Yeah.
I was heading down to this festival down in Derbyshire, and there was me and my girlfriend and my two kids, and we all had iPhones. And because of just complete ineptitude and lack of a car charger, we were all running really low on batteries, but had decided that we were just going to rely on our iPhones for navigation. So we all ended up putting the percentage on so we could see exactly how, you know, we were all in the red, but we could all see whether we had like 3% or 19% and kind of, you know, use the appropriate iPhone and all swap over. And it was remarkable because it started ending up like Lord of the Flies. You know, we were just all becoming so envious of each other having maybe 1% more. It's amazing we managed to get to our destination without killing and eating each other, really. I had to turn mine off afterwards because it was driving me mad seeing exactly how much charge I had.
So, wait, Rod, it sounds like you know how to turn on the battery percentage.
I've forgotten now. If you just go into your settings app, and it's under general, and you go into the usage bit that tells you your usage, which is why it's called usage, and there is just a little switch in there to turn on the percentifier, as I believe it's called.
I can't believe that you travel somewhere without having multiple backup power supplies for your iOS devices.
I actually forgot to bring half our chargers, and my car has a phone charger, but hers doesn't, and we were in her car. It was terribly badly organized, and it was raining. I mean, can you imagine that? It was like the end of the world.
when we went on holiday in March, we had two iPad Mophies, an iPhone Mophie, and some of the region, I think it was just short of 20 iPhone chargers or iOS device chargers. Now, there was a lot of us going, but we had lots of backups. But I thought I'd be really, really smart, and I'd just buy a whole bunch of American USB plugs, so just like American plugs with USB ports in the top of them. And I bought a batch of like 20 of them on Amazon because they were like £1.50 each or something like that. And I thought, this is me sorted, don't need to worry about this, because I had like a little interchangeable thing for the UK as well. And when I got across the States, I forgot to test them, and not one of them worked.
You sucker. Did you buy them like off some guy on the street?
No, I bought them on Amazon. Not one of them worked.
Oh, okay.
And so we ended up having to go and buy a whole bunch of iPhone chargers when we were
over
there.
Did you buy them off a bloke called Mophie? Was he wearing a fur coat?
The Mophie juice box. Juice box.
No, yo, it's Mophie juice box. Buy my chargers. That's what you just said.
The Mophies were fine. The Mophies were superb. The little boxes. I can't remember what you call them. Ian, did you say juice boxes? I can't remember.
When you buy them from a place.
No, the juice boxes are things with a straw. They're actually called juice packs.
Juice packs, that's it. Yeah, Kirsty has a juice pack for her iPhone, but we have two of the iPad ones, which are basically just like little bricks with a USB port on the top of them. Anyway, we're disappearing away down. Actually, it's slightly connected.
Can I say, Paul, I'm very surprised that your little plugs didn't all like go on fire, because that's been my experience of some stuff I buy from eBay that involves electricity.
Oh, no, Amazon. I bought them from Amazon.
Oh, so you did.
Things from Amazon can go on fire too. Just remember that, kids.
Yes. And it actually relates quite nicely onto the next one, which is the iPhone 3G not keeping a charge. That's from Nicole. Thank you, Nicole. So
Nicole, buy a Mophie juice pack.
Indeed. That's one thing you could do.
It depends. It could be there are a number of reasons for this. In fact, can I be a slightly cocky cock? And did you not cover a very similar question on your live show?
Actually, now that you mention it, we did. Sorry, that's a very fair point. So
was it that exact question?
No, it definitely wasn't. No, it definitely wasn't.
What were some of the tips from them then?
Well, it basically was the same thing. So you can, there was one thing that we didn't discuss, and that was that's actually been put in the show notes here, which is replacing the battery. Now, that's actually very easy and ridiculously cheap for a 3G.
It's not that easy because you do have to go right the way past the motherboard. If you're a little bit tech savvy or confident and methodical with a screwdriver, it's doable, but you have to get the motherboard right out to change it.
You do, and you do have to heat up the back of it. Now, the reason I know this isn't the same one is because I've put Nicole here, because that's actually my oldest daughter who has a 3G, and this is a question from her, because I did this last week, so it definitely was. It must have been somebody else at the bash, and I just completely forgot about it. But I replaced her battery in her 3G. It's actually amazing how I did it. I replaced the battery in the 3G, came out, realised I'd broken the microphone, so I then had to buy the new microphone bit. Replaced the microphone, and while I was coming back out again, I broke the home button, so then I had to go back in, replace the home button, and when I was doing that, I snapped the plastic screen on the front, so then I had to replace that. So basically, she has almost an entirely new 3G phone. But, really surprised, when you go into eBay, you can get all these parts for ridiculously cheap. The battery was something like £3. The
couple of quid, yeah.
Yeah, the microphone was £1.50. The home button was 49 pence. And the screen, she actually has a white iPhone screen on the 3G now, which she's absolutely delighted about, and that was only £6. So I was very, very impressed at the cheapness of this stuff from there. And all the instructions for doing all of the things that I've just mentioned, you can get on the iFixit app, which is free on the iPad, or the iFixit website, which is equally free, just iFixit.com.
Paul, just because all those replacement parts were cheap, it doesn't stop you from being a massive imbecile.
Yes, if they were more expensive, maybe you wouldn't have broken so many things because you'd been more careful.
Paul, I think we should have a sit down outside and just think about what you've done, all right?
No,
can I just quickly point out, if you're doing it by yourself as well, changing the battery, that is, that the 3G and 3GS batteries, while visually very similar, have different connections, so do not mix them up.
Yes.
And dispose of the old batteries carefully. Lithium-ion batteries can be nasty if you don't... Do not throw them in a fire, for example.
Eat them.
Yeah, don't eat them. Don't eat them.
But it's also worth trying to condition the battery, you know, run it all the way down and then charge it all the way up again.
Sort of grooming it.
Yeah, something along those lines. You know, make it feel... Don't try it with shampoo or anything like that. That doesn't generally...
Is there a way to save internet shortcuts on my iPad, similar to the Control D on IE? So that's from on Internet Explorer, I should say. So that's from Jerry Sim. So is there a way that he can do a similar thing to Control and D in Internet Explorer? I'm assuming on a Windows machine.
I don't know what Control D does in Internet Explorer.
It bookmarks the page, basically. So
it does indeed.
Oh, yeah. It's a bookmarking thing. Okay, yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah. So that's doable, isn't it? It's the plus. Is it not? Should you just go into the plus at the bottom of Safari?
No, the plus at the bottom of Safari adds another screen, does it not? We should know this. This is fairly simple stuff. I think the problem is because we do it that regularly. It's one of those funny things that you just don't even think about anymore.
Oh, but that's the iPad, isn't it? Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. So basically, yes, you can save bookmarks. While I kind of pad here, one of my trusty assistants will be actually performing this, so we will talk us through it in a second.
I'm performing as we speak. Well, on the iPad, it's nice and easy. I've got iOS 5. I've got my iPad in landscape, and just where you have the forward and back buttons along the top, there is the bookmark, the little book icon that takes you to your bookmarks. And if you go to the little arrow thing, it's got a number of things like tweeting, adding to home screen, and it does add a bookmark there.
There you go.
But I thought it was different on the phone. Yeah, at the bottom, it's not the plus at the bottom. It's got the arrow at the bottom of the screen. So it's just
called
the
action icon.
Top. That's what I called it.
Mm. Is it now? Yeah, you learn something new every day. Mm. And when you tap the action icon, you'll also get the choice of where you want to save the bookmark, because if you've got folders, you might want to put it in one of those folders and so forth.
And another option, of course, is if it's something that you regularly access, you can actually save internet shortcuts onto the screen. So like the landing screen where all your apps are and things like that. And it creates a lovely little icon of the favicon, which is the little graphic which will appear in the address bar. So if you do this exact same action, but instead of adding bookmark, you tap on add to home screen, and it will actually drop a little icon on your desktop which will automatically open up Safari and take you to that website. So it's very, very
you
handy.
You might just want to watch which sites you do that one with.
Yes, indeed. So, so that's
it. Come on, let's have another one. We want another one.
Shortcuts. Okay, how do I get...
Let's empty this gusset.
Right. How do I get
something
notifications?
The matter, Paul.
Yeah, indeed. How do I get notifications on my 4S for social networking? And that's from Alan Elvin.
I'd rather know how to stop getting notifications for social networking.
I think in this scenario, we are going to assume that you have some type of Twitter application and or some type of Facebook application on your phone, because unless you have both of those apps installed, there is no way to get notifications as it stands. Am I right?
I think so. I thought for the official Twitter and Facebook apps that they would send notifications automatically as the default when you install them. So it's possible he switched them off without realising.
I believe that they send notifications, but you have to actually change where they're displayed about. So if you go into settings on your... it doesn't actually say... Oh, no, it does say 4S. Sorry, it is a 4S. So if you go into settings, then go into notifications, and then it actually lists all of the applications that could produce notifications of any kind. So I'm going to go into Tweetbot here, because that's my Twitter client of choice. Now, by default, it says Notification Center is on. Show the five most recent items, but then when it says alert style, it by default shows none, which means that absolutely no alert comes up, but it does get shown in Notification Center. So if you change that to banners, which is the middle one, or alerts, which is kind of the old style thing that pops up and gets in your way, so I would definitely choose banners, it will actually show the notification as you go, and you do exactly the same thing for Facebook. And then underneath that, you can switch on and off the icons, switch on and off the sounds, and enable it or disable it in lock screen. So, for example,
if you happen to be on any other social network, if it has support through the app for notifications, you'll do it in just the same way. I used to use something called Path, and it would pop up notifications when people were like in a bar around the corner from me or whatever. Same with things like Foursquare.
Yeah, that's actually true. It's exactly the same for everything, I suppose. So even eBay, for example, if you switch on notifications and switch on banners as well, it does the same thing. So Notification Center allows you to really customize how your notifications come up, more so than in the past.
Is that how you keep up with your mates, Paul, on eBay?
No, it's not. But I was just suggesting the Notification Center has other things other than social networking. That was all. The next question. I'm needing a quick way of organizing apps after a restore. Pages and pages of apps with no folders, and it takes ages to put them into folders. And that's from Graham Scobie. So I'm taking this to mean actually after like a full system factory restore, and it automatically by default just dumps every single app.
If you restore it from a backup, it will put everything where it was.
Yeah. But if you do a system restore, it'll just dump every single application you've ever bought. And if you've had an iPhone for a while, you're going to have pages and pages and pages of apps, not in folders. So is there a quick way to deal with that?
Probably the least painful way that I know of is to do it in iTunes, where you can, if you actually go into iTunes and select your phone or iPad from the left-hand side, then you do have that bit where it allows you, it shows you a little, it shows you an actual visualization of your home screen, and you can see all the different pages of it, and you can fiddle around there.
Yeah, you can add all things in. You can add folders, and it's quite quick to actually change names of folders and things like that in there. Yep.
It's still a little kludgy, but it's a lot easier than doing it on your phone. Yeah, and just the nice thing is you could see all the different pages at once as well.
Just like on the phone, you drag apps on top of each other to create folders and things, and it is much quicker.
Yep. There's another way to do it if you don't have access to iTunes, which is still much, much slower. But if you are trying to kind of, if you find a game and you want it to be in a folder with another game that's three pages away, and you then have to drag those two games into the same page and then add them to a folder, I found quite a quick little technique of doing this. If you want to collect together all your games, find two games, put them together so it creates a folder, then move that folder into the dock. So then that folder is available no matter what screen you're on. So it means that you're not having to move between screens. You just have to drag the icon down at the folder in the dock, which is...
Who's a clever boy? That's pretty good. I like that.
That's a quick way of organizing them. So that works quite nicely. And finally, this is actually a problem I had. So I've added it in here. Now, I have technically solved it. But I'm quite curious if you guys, or actually I should really mention here, the reason nobody's heard from Streak is not because Roddy's killed him. He disappeared about 5 minutes into the show because his newborn was making a bit of noise, and he hasn't reappeared as of yet. So just in case anybody wonders that why he's just completely disappeared, he hasn't been asphyxiated in any way by Roddy.
I don't do those asphyxiations. I didn't do nothing.
So, iPhone 4S, I have an iPhone 4S. I moved from O2 to Orange about 2 weeks ago or something like that. And everything was working absolutely fine on my phone, but I wasn't getting any data. And 3G was showing as 5 bars. Now, I went through every single possible level of support desk Orange. I phoned O2, they weren't interested. The phone was not locked to O2. I bought the handset outright. And I couldn't work out what was wrong with it. Just it kept on coming up saying that I was having absolutely no 3G. So,
oh, I think I know what's wrong.
Right. Please
can
tell
I have
me.
A go at this? Can,
yeah,
I, can
yeah.
I try?
Mm-hmm.
Did you try resetting the network settings?
Mm-hmm.
You did?
Yep. That was level one of support desk of hell at Orange.
Then let's take this to level two, Paul. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's go all the
I'm
way.
I'm holding tight. I'm holding tight.
I'm level not ready. Two of the support. Not ready. But okay,
did you manually put in the correct APN settings for data in the network settings?
I did not do any of that because when I went in, they were all showing as Orange from memory.
But even if they're, you know, they might not have been the right ones because Orange have various different ones.
Mm,
and I
okay.
think they have one that's pay-as-you-go and one that's contract. And I think they've got one that sort of works between the two.
Okay.
So it could well have been that that would have unbreakified your problem.
It's possible.
Box.
Just to add an extra element of problem to this, my good lady has also got a 4S, exactly the same age as mine. She was with O2. She also moved over to Orange, all on exactly the same contracts. The only difference is hers is a white iPhone and mine is a black iPhone. And she had absolutely no problems.
Did you try hurling it out of a second story window?
I did not. I also tried plugging in iTunes to see if it automatically updated the carrier settings. Mm-hmm. I did multiple restores on the phone, reset the phone, absolutely nothing every single time. I was getting full 3G, 5 bars of 3G, but every time I tried to do anything on the internet, it just said that my data plan does not allow me to. Now, I obviously phoned Orange and checked, and my data plan was completely up and running. It was identical to the one on Kirsty's phone, but hers was working. Now, the way that I solved it, and it isn't a real solve, is by restoring it. But what I had to do was do a full factory restore, which obviously mm-hmm. meant I lost everything on my phone, such as I lost SMS conversation history, I lost the position I was at in where's my water and where's my Perry, which was frankly devastating. I had to fix all of my folders. On the plus side, though, I've not installed all the apps that I had on my phone, and I'm managing just fine. Because I had pages and pages of apps. So I've lost everything. I'm basically back to essentially a fresh new iPhone, and it's fixed the problem. But there's no way that I should have had to go to that level.
That seems a bit crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Other than making sure that you do have the right APN settings in there, I'm goosed.
Yeah.
See, everything else you tried is, I don't know.
I don't know. I thought I'd just add it in. If any listeners out there can suggest anything that I should have done differently, obviously it's too late now, but I'd be interested.
Paul will give them a big kiss. in a place of their choosing, for example, Glenn Rothis.
So, be interested to see if anybody has any thoughts on what I should have done differently there, in case anybody's in that situation.
I noticed you're not going, oh no, I don't want to kiss anyone, Roddy. So you're... All right, quite for it, are you?
I don't mind, as long as they pay for me to get to said place. I don't mind.
It says all the makings of a plan.
What you should have done differently, Paul, obviously, is buy an Android phone. I hear they're much more reliable.
You said that with such sincerity there.
I try.
You're not allowed to show anymore. Okay, cool.
Excellent.
Moving on swiftly then, so I would just like to take this moment to thank our show sponsors this week. Our show this week, this podcast and every other podcast, in fact, not just this week, wouldn't be possible without UK2.net. They kept the British Tech Network afloat for over 3 years now. And they are frankly fantastic and you should use them. We've got a whole pile of voucher codes if you head on over to the sponsor section on the British Tech Network, and you will get all of our voucher codes and everything like that there. So basically what you need to do is you head on to britishtechnetwork.com, click on sponsors, click on the link on the main page which takes you to UK2. Fill your basket with everything you need, domains, VPNs, DNS, management servers, VPSs, and everything like that. When you get to the checkout, you pop in the codes that you'll see in the sponsor section. They will give you all sorts of fantastic money offers, more details in the sponsor section on the page. Check out, and that's absolutely fantastic. Every time you log into your your account in the future as well, if you could come through British Tech Network, just so they know that we sent you. So that's UK2, they support British Tech, and you should support them. Gentlemen, do we have any picks this evening? Roddy, would you like to start?
My pick is, it's not a new one, but it's reasonably new to me, and it's great. It's an app called Big Words, which I use on my iPhone. And what it does is it produces big words. Now, we all know what words are, and you may have seen small words before, or medium-sized words. You also see big words, like on big advertising hoardings. And these are the big words. But it's a small phone. So what it cleverly does is you type in a message and it scales up that message to the biggest it possibly can, the largest typeface it can that will fit on the phone. So it's using as much of the screen as possible. And with sort of white on black, so it's very bold, very clear message. So it's good if you were kind of in a bar that was really noisy and you wanted to say something to your friend who's, you know, maybe just a few people away, maybe another group of friends. You just hold up your phone with Bob, you are a funnel, written on it in big words. And then he just loses it because you've written something that isn't funny as such, but rather strange. It has all kinds of uses. If you're trying to, you know, ask for... If you were having an emergency and you needed help from the Coast Guard, who happened to be perhaps within about 15 or 20 feet of you, and for some reason you couldn't use your voice or any other form of communication, it's the perfect app.
Well,
and that's 69 pence on the App Store, which I think represents great value.
Because I have an app quite like that, and I have in fact used it order drinks in noisy bars before now.
You know, so you could use it for that kind of thing. Or you could hold up to perhaps a pretty lady and you could have "you seem nice" written in it and you could hold it up to them and they'd think that was really normal and maybe give you a kiss. It
might
Very good. Well, fundamentally, I'm still holding out for a port of Figlets to iOS.
iOS.
What are you talking about? Is this some kind of...
I'm going to say that again. Fundamentally, I'm still holding out for a port of Figlet to iOS.
Port of Figlet. Oh, Figlet, right, okay.
What's Figlet?
It's a Linux thing.
Right, see, I thought you were saying Portal Figlet, as in all one word, and I didn't know what that was.
I don't know what anything is.
It's like Piglet with an F.
Oh, like a piglet. But with
yes.
What does it do then? Tell us about it.
If you type Figlet something into like a terminal on a Linux machine of some sort, it will make it big, like with characters and stuff.
It's then WASCII, isn't it?
In terminal on the Mac.
Probably, yeah. But it didn't start out there.
It does. It does it kind of an ASCII art type thing, doesn't it? Is that the whole idea?
That's it. Yep.
Oh, it doesn't work on the Mac, I'm afraid.
You can install it with your amazing installing powers.
Right, I will.
Okay, that wasn't your pick, though, was it, Ian?
No, because it doesn't exist.
Oh, doesn't it? Right, okay.
Let's try it. Our picks now. Just things that...
Well, you see, you were asking for an app that you wanted to see built, so there you go, Figlet for the Mac, or Figlet for iOS, or iOS, as you refer to it.
Which is big words.
Hmm.
Okay.
Oh, that's true.
Yes. Maybe that need has been filled already. I'm not sure.
Tick.
Okay. My pick this week. I'm afraid I'm going off piste, as I sometimes do. Some time ago, I switched my main Twitter app on my iPhone to Tweetbot, and then a version came out for iPad, and I switched to that. And now there is an alpha version out for the Mac, which I've been using for about a week, and I quite like it. So I'm just wanted to pick that as my pick for the week. It's only an alpha version. It's still very early. But if you like Tweetbot on your iOS devices, then you can now get it for your Mac. And given the sad state of the Twitter app on the Mac, that can only be a good thing.
Is that like the sad state of the official Twitter app on the iPad now as well, and increasingly in the iPhone?
I've been using Tweetbot on both the iPhone and the iPad for a long, long, long time because the other ones are just horrendous. However, I had this conversation with a couple of guys from the Mac show on the network earlier on this morning, and they seem to find it completely fine, and I've just had so many problems with it. And I totally get it's an alpha version, so I'm not complaining at all. I mean, it's an alpha version, and that's fine, but I've had to stop using it, and frankly, I just have Twitter open in a tab, and I know you get no notifications from that, but I actually find that far better than the Twitter client on Mac. But I find all sorts of problems with it because the lists, they don't refresh. And then I find it hanging when you try and force the lists to refresh.
Okay.
But it's alpha.
It's like in the popular 90s television show Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
But what you said, the poll has exactly made me think of something I would like on my Mac, which is a Twitter client that will give me notifications when it's not running, that like maybe has like a mini Twitter thing that sits in my menu bar or something like that, and just gives me DM and at notifications. Mm-hmm.
There's a good little Facebook app that does that.
But I hate Facebook. Why would you tell me that?
But if you didn't dislike it, which is liking it, then you could have had that. I know the kind of thing you mean. Mm-hmm. But we've gone off on a huge tangent about Macs.
My hate for Facebook.
Yes. I know all your other hates. I am all your other hates.
Being that Robert isn't here, I'm going to just announce his pick, because I've got one as well, but I'm just going to announce his very quickly. It's a little app called Robot Wants Kitty, and it seems to be a little platformer game. It's for free. It's in the iTunes store. And it kind of looks kind of cool. Little platformer game for the iPhone. So that was Robert's pick tonight. I really hope I haven't just done that and then he was fully expecting to not have to think of one for the next show. But hey-ho.
He's frantically wiping this baby so he could have his little moment of glory at the end of the podcast. And you've robbed him of it.
He should have been
just chucking it in the nappy sack, pressing the pedal on the bin, ready to run back to his microphone. But no.
I think we should give him a few seconds. If he comes back right now, then he can do Paul's pick.
No,
nope,
he's not
carry
here.
On, Paul.
No. my pick, I'm going to be quite serious and quite professional here, is Azure. I know, a little off topic, but Azure 6.5, particularly now. 6.5, just to explain, Azure is basically a prototyping tool. So you can create wireframes. Those wireframes can then be plugged in together so you actually get functioning low fidelity prototypes. You can then add designs and things like that to it to get really quite fancy, almost the real thing, working prototypes in browsers and on mobile devices. Now, 6 was fantastic. I really liked Azure as a prototyping tool. But 6.5 brings a whole bunch of functionality to basically allow you to prototype apps as opposed to just websites, which is what I did before. So it brings in swipe functionality. It allows you to create different apps for different screen resolutions. It also, if you save to home screen, as we mentioned before, it was in Jerry Sims' request about how you save internet shortcuts. If you save one of your actual prototypes onto the desktop as a shortcut, it allows you to actually put in splash screens and things like that. Almost to the point that if you had a fairly basic app requirement with very little kind of external functionality and no need for kind of location or anything fancy, you could actually make a fully functioning web app, albeit basic, in Azure because you've got all the swipe functionality and everything like that. But if you're an
That's
app developer...
pretty cool.
It is. If you're an app developer and you are, or even if you just have a basic idea for a web app, Azure 6.5, it's got a 30-day free trial. I'm sure it's about £500 when you buy it. But yeah, I really like Azure.
So you can have just build a web app that you just, it has a picture of like Pato Banton, the recording artist, on it, and you can just swipe it around.
Yeah, yeah.
Pointlessly.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And how do you spell that?
Axure.
Okay, in letters.
Yes, in letters, yes. Or would you like me to respell it in letters?
Please.
All right, okay, so that's Axure.
Ooh. Okay, thank you. That's very helpful.
Yeah, so it's a really cool little app.
Did you tell us how much that was?
I think it's about £500. It's a pro app. So,
£500. I think that's
darn it.
Represents value there.
Yeah, but you can get a 30-day free trial. But it's very cool. Very cool. I use it daily. It's fantastic. So, finally, where can we get you, gentlemen? Roddy, where are you?
You can get me at my house. if you do come here, I'll act very surprised and call the police. But you can come in and have a cup of tea while we wait for the police to arrive. Alternatively, I'm on that Twitter, which is on that internet. My name's Roddy, which is R-O-D-T-I. If you're still having trouble with that, it's on our show notes. But I am a little bit sweary on the Twitters, so you might want to watch out for that.
Okay, okay. Ian, where can we find you?
Yeah, often just lurking outside Roddy's house, as it happens. But otherwise, I follow him around on Twitter as well, and you can find me there. I'm Maniac Yak. It's MANIACYAK.
Cool. And you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Paul Wheatley, which is Paul, W-H-E-A-T-L-E-Y. You can follow the network on Twitter, which is British Tech News, on one word. You can send us an email if you'd like your support request read out in trouble, gusset, or you'd just like to give us some abuse or some praise. I don't really mind either way. You can email us at britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. But most importantly, if you've liked what you've heard and you want to give us a review, please head on over to iTunes, give us some stars and a lovely message, and we will be forever grateful. Ratings really help us get up the charts. We really enjoy those, and we enjoy reading them out too. So
we love feedback.
We do indeed.
We crave it.
Yes. So all the feedback you can give us, all the better. And if you want to send Roddy a piece of confectionery for the next show, preferably not a double-decker or...
Oh, I didn't eat my toffee crisp tonight. I've still got it.
Is toffee crisp. If you would like to send another one, if you'd like, I don't know, if Cadbury's want to sponsor the show, you know, either way, I don't really mind. I'm kind of easy. Fire on. Give us an email. So thank you very much for listening, and good night.
Thank you.
Bye.